What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the For the Good podcast.
We're so glad you're here.
Our mission is to reach the next generation by encouraging you using God's word.
We cover topics like Christian dating. God does not want someone to come to him because of a person.
Finding your godly spouse. That's how God works in relationships.
Mm-hmm. Following God's will for your life.
We think that we should be omniscient with God. And staying close to God when the world tempts you. Or it can be worshiping the right God in the wrong way. Romans 8:28 says,
"And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose."
This podcast is for God's good and to grow his kingdom.
Our prayer is that this ministry provides you with a healthy Christian community that you can be a part of.
Thank you guys for tuning in.
Hello, and welcome back to another episode of the For the Good podcast.
Yes, and I'm with my smoking hot wife on the tripod.
Honey.
There's a fly in here.
It's driving still. Me crazy.
Yeah, once he gets seated on this couch. Oh, sorry, buddy. Wow, here we go. Big day for him. I mean, he usually eats flies. Now that he's up, maybe he'll get it.
Bella.
Dang, you cracking open your beer over there?
Sorry.
Is that what you're doing? So
this episode's sponsored by Waterloo. No, I'm just kidding.
It's not a beer.
It's a Waterloo. If you're listening, you can't see. It's a Waterloo.
Yeah, it's not a beer. However, that would maybe be a fun if we did something
about drinking?
No.
Wait, what?
No, I was saying like it would be fun, honey, one night if we did like... Okay, spoiler alert, Michelle and I are going to have a Q&A for each other in the future.
Mm-hmm.
What would be fun, honey, is if we did that on a Friday night and like we each had a glass of wine while doing it.
No, yeah, that would be fun. Mm-hmm. That would be fun. That would be an entertaining episode. Not that it would change our... It would just be like casual kind of...
Yeah.
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 Well, yeah, so thank y'all for being here. thank y'all for just all support, all generous donations.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Michelle and I are on this podcast doing it because we believe the Lord's told us to do it. And it's crazy how it's ministering to people mm-hmm. and how y'all are generous enough to donate to us. I mean, it's like, wow.
Yeah.
Whether it's $1 or $20 or
$1,000. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we've had people donate $1,000.
Yeah.
Pretty crazy.
Yeah.
And that doesn't go towards like us buying nicer things. Just to let you guys know where the money goes towards. It usually goes towards stuff for like bill wise to us to be able to do this in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it.
The last one we did the giveaway.
Yeah.
So we did give back to you guys. We bought all of those All of God books for you, which stay tuned because we might be doing another one soon with mm-hmm. another book.
Yeah.
And we also donated money towards something. What was it?
It was my sister.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. My sister's doing a discipleship program in Orlando.
Yeah.
And we gave her like $250 or something like that. And that came from you guys. So thank y'all because now my sister's able to learn how to disciple people. That are her age and a little bit younger, which is very important because she's about 20.
Mm-hmm.
And 20-year-olds, when I was 20, I was definitely living in the world. So, and whenever a Christian would come up to me and say, you need to repent, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, okay, I'm going to go get wasted.
Yeah.
But now I'm like, dang, I probably should have listened to them. My life would have been a lot better. All right, I'm going to start off this episode with a story so we can kind of get crack-a-lackin' here.
Oh, I was going to give some updates. Okay, go ahead.
Nope. Updates from the wife. Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, I just wanted to update you guys on what we talked about last Sunday. Not last Sunday. Mine's going a million miles an hour.
Mile an hour. Wow, that fast.
No, so we ended up getting our marriage license.
Oh, yeah.
Finally. So we had to ship it off to Asher's dad. He re-signed it, sent it back to us. We drove it to the county clerk, and the woman there was so nice that she went ahead and sealed it and put it on record while we were there.
Yeah.
So up next, I got to get a new Social Security card.
Yeah.
So that I can go get my driver's license and then my official name.
So now, legally. Yeah. Now we are officially married.
By law.
By law.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
We've been married for a lot longer.
But well, we were married. The day is still the same. Just yeah. Now it's like actually on public record that we got married on April 5th. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's an update. Also, we just have a lot of exciting and good news that we're going to share soon. So stay tuned for that. But okay, honey, give me the story so that we can get into this topic because just this
really big day.
Wow. Is a juicy topic.
Oh, yeah, here we go. All right, I'm not going to say any names, but I was talking to someone this past week. Or actually, let me back up more.
Okay.
So I'm just going to say I was talking to a family member.
Yes.
I was talking to a family member very, very long time ago. And this was before Michelle and I were married. I was still living in my other apartment. And we got on the topic about Jesus because, you know, they go to church. They've been in church their whole life. So I was just curious. Mm-hmm. I was like, I wonder if everyone has the same theology as me.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's only one theology,
mm-hmm.
you know. So I started talking to her and I said, when did you get saved? And they said, well, I was scared in a baptism when I was 6. And I said, interesting. So how long have you been saved? And she said, yeah, well, I mean, I was baptized when I was 6. And I said, so have you been filled with the Holy Spirit these whole years? And she said, well, I hope so. And that's what got me thinking about this topic we're going to talk about today is I wonder what some people have been taught, because you can be taught wrong.
Mm-hmm.
This is something Michelle and there's another part to the story, but I'm just going to take a second to pause. And again, I want y'all to listen to this whole entire clip because there's a point to this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It is okay to deconstruct.
Yeah.
Now, let me go on and say, you're not deconstructing from God because God can't be deconstructed.
Mm-hmm.
You're deconstructing from the ways you were taught.
Mm-hmm.
And if you were taught about Jesus Christ wrong,
yeah,
I would encourage you to deconstruct from that terrible way of in which you learned Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Now, I'm not saying fall away from Christianity. That's mm-hmm. not what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
Christianity is the only truth out there.
Mm-hmm.
There is no other truth.
And if you're fully following the Lord, you won't want to.
Yeah. So if y'all are watching this and you are a deconstructionist, thanks for tuning in.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't deconstruct from God. You deconstructed from the way you were taught.
Exactly.
And that's okay. Guess what? I did it.
Mm-hmm.
And Michelle did it.
Yep.
We'll get into that a little bit later.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, so then I talked to another family member. And one of my other family members is not doing so well. So I was like, do you think that so-and-so is going to get into heaven? And she goes, well, yeah. That's why she has so much peace. And I was like, oh, that's amazing. Like I'm so hyped for that, you know, she has that peace and that comfort. And then I was like, why is she so confident though? And she replies, well, I mean, she hasn't killed anyone. And my response was, well, that doesn't matter. Jesus isn't going to care about that.
Mm-hmm.
And just very quiet. And then, I go, well, the only way to truly get into heaven is through faith alone. That's the only way to get into heaven.
Yeah.
And that's how we're going to start on today's topic is basically the whole saying relationship over religion. I was telling Michelle that a couple days ago. I don't like that saying. I know it's like a popular saying. Oh, we don't follow religion. You know, we have a relationship. And it's like, well, I mean, if we're being honest, fam, it's a religion.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's the difference. You start building a relationship with Jesus and then you get religious.
Yeah.
That's why it is formed as a religion.
Yeah.
But when you are adopted into the family, well, you're not going to follow all the rules right off the bat.
Yeah.
That's not how the Holy Spirit works.
Yeah.
And So once you are saved through faith, then your works are going to be a byproduct of that.
Mm-hmm.
So that is where I want to start. So let's get it cooking, honey. This is going to be a fun topic.
Really good.
Yeah. Hope y'all enjoy that story. I don't want to say any names because I don't. Here's the fly right here. Hold on.
Here we go.
Ah.
I'm leaving that in.
Missed him.
That was a really good start. Asher and I's heart behind this comes from conversations that we've had with people in our lives that have unfortunately come to faith in focusing on works, lawlessness, and not truly following Jesus, and also ourselves, right? I went my entire life practicing as a Christian, but never fully had Jesus in my heart. He didn't even know who I was.
Yeah.
He did. But there wasn't a real relationship there. So our heart behind this episode is to hopefully, if you're in that boat, get out of it and focus on what Jesus says on how to actually have a relationship with him, mm-hmm. right? If you don't read your Bible and you're going off of what man is saying, you are going to be steered in a totally wrong direction.
Yeah. I was just about to bring that up, honey, before we really tackle this, is especially younger on, we don't challenge what?
Younger on. Early on?
Oh, when, sorry.
Okay.
When we're earlier on, like when we're younger.
Yes.
Right? And let's say we're raised in the church.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know how to challenge our pastor.
Yeah.
And our pastor can be feeding us something completely false, mm-hmm. and we have no idea.
That's why youth pastors are so important.
Yes. And I will go on the record and say this. Paul, because Paul is the one who warns us about false teachers.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what Paul never says, or Jesus. The one who teaches you about Jesus, take their word for it.
Yeah.
They're right.
Yeah.
He actually says the complete opposite.
Yeah.
He warns us against false teachers.
Yeah.
So, again, this is kind of like, I don't want to say I'm adding to the Bible, but the heart posture behind this is Paul is like, whenever you hear a teacher, check their work.
Yeah.
Because if it doesn't align with Scripture, they're false. Now, I'm not going to sit here and say that they can't make a mistake.
Yeah.
I've made mistakes. There's a whole episode in For the Good where Michelle and Kaylee did a whole separate episode because Michelle made a mistake.
Yeah.
That's a completely different story. But mm-hmm. if it's week after week after week, just some ridiculous false, theology, well, then that's a false teacher.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm getting at is I don't want y'all to put more faith in your pastor
mm-hmm.
and saying what he says every Sunday
mm-hmm.
than what the Bible actually says. Because we are talking about eternity. We're talking about heaven and hell.
Mm-hmm.
And what I hear so much about is, oh, well, I don't have time to read the Bible. I don't have time to do all this research. Well, if you really think about it, it's not that much time as you may think. Mm-hmm. I mean, to answer a couple questions, it may take 20 minutes. Let's say your pastor said something whack. Like, let's say he said you need to work in order to get to heaven. Google, do you have to go to work to get to heaven? What did Jesus say? ? There's going to be a ton of articles.
Mm-hmm.
You pick one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And I guarantee you it's going to say the complete opposite because you don't need to work to get to heaven. And there you go. You got your answer. Like, it doesn't take long.
You also shouldn't be taking your pastor's word for it.
Yeah.
Right? Like, we love our pastor, John, mm-hmm. and how he teaches. But we also know that the things that he's saying are true because we know our word.
Yeah,
right? Exactly. So you shouldn't be relying on man to teach you about Jesus.
Exactly.
Get in your word.
Yeah.
Like, spend time with him. Like, read it.
Yeah.
It literally says it all in here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's too many times where us are looking for a revelation from our pastor instead of getting a revelation from God's word.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate, but that's...
Or your relationship with Jesus is Sunday mornings at church, It's like
mm-hmm.
Monday, what's that song? Monday Morning Faith?
Monday Morning Faith, yeah.
Like, we should... Such a good song.
Mm-hmm.
Lyrics are so good and so true.
Mm-hmm.
But it is. It's important to have. That's why we always say it's a personal relationship. Now, is community and church important in your walk with Jesus? Absolutely.
Yeah.
It can help you. Yeah. Absolutely. It benefits you.
Mm-hmm.
But your relationship with Jesus should be your relationship with Jesus. Mm-hmm. You know, and I'm not saying like twist scripture and say, oh, it's my personal relationship. I can do what I want, or I believe this way. You know, like this doesn't change.
Yeah.
Sorry. If your feelings are hurt, sorry. This still doesn't change. But
if your feelings are hurt, that's a good thing. My feelings get hurt every time I read that dang book. Yeah. I'm not kidding. That's,
no, it's true.
And I was reading Isaiah. My feelings were hurt all morning.
We talk all the time about how we like to leave church feeling like we want to change.
Yeah.
Like it's a good thing.
Yeah.
Like number one, it's confirmation that we have the Holy Spirit because we're getting convicted, right? That's not just our conscience. Sorry. Anyone who believes, well, it's just, we were just born this way to have this conscience. Like, no. If you have the Holy Spirit living inside you and someone says something in church service and you're like, ouch, I need to change. Yeah, you've got the Holy Spirit, or he's working on you, you know? So yeah, it confirms that. And two, I know that I'm not perfect. So I don't want to leave a church service thinking like, oh yeah, I'm great. I don't need to change a single thing. Like, that's not going to get anywhere, you know? I'm not going to be perfect until the day I reach eternity when all of this sinful nature of mine is completely gone, you know? There should always be a room for change. But, so the anchor verse for this episode is going to be Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. So most everyone has probably heard this, but I'm going to read it. Ready? God saved you by his grace when you believed, and you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. Hold on.
Here we go.
That brought me to something else. So this is Romans chapter. Also, I don't have any notes. Yeah. I just thought of this.
Yeah.
This is Romans chapter 12, starting at verse 3. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment and in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. So then Paul goes on to talk about like gifts that God's given us and stuff like that. Why does Paul say this, honey? About not wanting to boast about it, right? And I believe it comes a lot from he wants us to detach from pride completely. And if we boast about being Christians, no one likes a prideful person.
No.
God knows this.
Yeah. And well, you're also taking credit for something that God's giving you the passion to do.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
You're taking credit away from him.
Yeah. Anywho, I want to go back to
we're all over the place.
Yeah, so just mind going a mile an hour. Bop. Big day. I wanted to go back to when you said my faith.
Yeah.
So I don't know why I thought of this, but when you said my faith, I immediately thought their religion.
Yeah.
Because when someone says, well, I have my faith, they're taking this book.
Yeah.
And creating it in their mind to fit their selfish desires.
Yeah.
I'll give you an example.
Or to justify what they're doing.
Yes. Yeah. I'll give you an example. My faith. I love Jesus with all my heart, soul, and mind. But I know I'm getting married to this person. So I'm going to have sex with them before marriage. I know God's word says not to do that. However, my faith doesn't align with that. So what you're saying is you want to take bits and pieces from this book, apply it to your life, but then still fit your selfish desire and your selfish needs to accomplish X, Y, Z. This is what atheists do. I'll be honest. This is what atheists do.
Yeah.
They'll take bits and pieces out of this book, and then one thing that they disagree with, they dismantle it and try and disprove it with science or whatever. Love you, atheist, but they do that a lot. They take things out of this book and call it this, and then it's my faith. Because regardless of if you're an atheist or if, you know, you're a lukewarm Christian or whatever, you still have faith. That story I told at the beginning, her faith about getting into heaven, that was placed on her not murdering anyone.
Yeah.
You know? I don't know about you, honey, but I would not want to put my faith in myself of being a good person.
You know what that just reminded me of? What you just said?
What?
Let's go back to the story of the three guys that got money. The parable. What was that parable?
Oh, man.
They got denarius. Parable of the three servants. Here we go.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
When he gives them each money.
Yeah.
And then one guy goes and, yeah, he invested and earned five more. And then the other one invested and earned two more. And then the last one went and buried it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to get to heaven and have to look Jesus in the eye and say, well, I didn't do anything wrong. Okay, but you didn't actually do anything to grow my kingdom.
Yeah.
You didn't serve me.
Mm-hmm.
You sat idle saying that you believed in me just because you didn't want to go to hell.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to face that.
That's terrible.
That would be so harsh. Why do you think he gives us that parable? All of these words in this Bible that are in red, the parables that he told, they all have meaning.
Yeah.
It wasn't just to say it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, that's the last thing someone should want. He didn't do anything wrong with it. He didn't waste it. He didn't spend it on something stupid.
Yeah.
He literally just didn't do anything with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know?
Michelle and I were watching a movie called Testament. Highly recommend it for anyone.
It was so good.
Whether you're a believer or not, it's just a really good movie. I forgot what character it was, but Luke said, why did Jesus not just give advice? Why did he have to tell stories?
Mm-hmm.
And the response was, well, advice can help you with certain situations,
mm-hmm.
but stories can help you for a lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
And what's crazy about that book mm-hmm. is we're still studying that book 2,000 years since Jesus died, and we're still learning about his stories he told.
Yeah.
Still. And it's because the parables and the stories he told, he said it in a way for us to have them for a lifetime and for us mm-hmm. to learn from them for a lifetime. That's a really good parable, honey.
Yeah. I want to go back to the Ephesians verse that I just read, because it says that we're saved by God's grace, and his grace negates all attempts to earn salvation.
Mm-hmm.
Like, his grace is a gift mm-hmm. that we cannot earn. It would be pointless if we had to work for it,
mm-hmm.
you know, like it wouldn't mean as much. And I think a lot of times certain denominations, especially the one that I grew up in, it was really like serving the Lord. It was like, what can we do to like serve the Lord? Like, I don't even know if I ever heard this verse.
Yeah.
But literally, it yeah. was like, we love the Lord. We sing on Sunday. Now let's go do some mission trips and let's go serve our community. You know, in high school, how you have to do community service hours
mm-hmm.
to like graduate? At least my school, we did.
Well, I did community service hours when I got arrested. But
here we go. Whole another story.
Yeah.
No, but my school, in order to graduate, you had to do a certain number of community service hours.
Interesting.
And I hit my hours my freshman year just solely based on my youth group.
Hmm.
Because we served our community so much. I am so thankful for that, though. Like, yeah. I'm thankful for all those experiences and, like, just being taught to, like, serve people.
Yeah.
But I was never taught this.
Yeah.
Like, I was sprinkled as an infant, and I thought that I was saved.
Mm-hmm.
I went my entire life literally claiming to be a Christian.
Yeah.
And people that actually truly had a relationship with Jesus, probably in their heads, were like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
Like, you're not a Christian.
Yeah.
Just because of what happened, like, when you grew up or what you're doing, you know? Like, earning salvation is a gift, and it ignites a fire in us to want to serve the Lord.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I wonder how many people even today are doing things in order to earn God's love instead of going on that mission trip or something because you love God.
Yeah.
That's two completely different things.
Yeah.
Because here's the difference.
Yeah.
Going to earn God's love is selfish,
mm-hmm.
and going because you love God is completely selfless.
Exactly.
That's the difference.
Yeah.
And if you know God's character,
yeah.
Yes, he's a jealous God.
Yeah.
Not selfish, though.
Yeah.
He's a very selfless God. That's why he sent his only son
to
take on the sin that we can't bear. Now, if you know his character, then you should know that we can't earn his love,
mm-hmm.
because that's a very selfish thing for us to do. I mean, mm-hmm. imagine, I couldn't imagine me wanting to earn your love.
Yeah.
You know, just as you being my wife, I couldn't imagine me doing the dishes or something. You're like, oh, I hope she loves me more.
It's like my love meter for you is going up.
Yeah. And it's like, I mean, I can guarantee you right now, honey, we're going to go through seasons where it's like, we're not going to have the fire that we did a year ago when we met each other, right? Like, I pray it's always there.
Yeah.
But I haven't heard of one couple ever, and these are healthy relations I'm talking about, where they're like, yeah, like, we were just on fire for each other and just in love with each other the whole time, you know?
Mm-hmm.
No. They all go through highs and lows, and that's the same thing with our relationship with Jesus. I mean, there's going to be time... I've been saved for a year and I still question. Great.
Yeah.
Because if you question it and you're truly saved, God's going to reveal to you why you started following him in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
And again, he's not going to show it to you if you're trying to earn his love.
Yeah.
He's not going to.
Yeah.
And in the same way, if I'm doing those dang dishes, trying to earn your love, you know, you're going to look at me like, honey, I love you.
Yeah.
For you.
Yeah.
I don't love you because you're doing these dishes.
Mm-hmm.
See, because that would be selfish, right? And in the same way, God's not a selfish God.
Yeah.
Go ahead, honey. Take it away.
That was really good. I have another verse that I want to read.
So good.
I'm going to pull out a lot of verses.
Yeah.
Today.
Bible nerd.
Here we go.
Nerd. Bible nerd.
Yep. Proud of it.
Yes. Oh, hang on. Before you start, I wanted to say something. On my YouTube channel... I'm done doing topics, people. I'm just going to preach through the Bible. So, if y'all want to grow in your biblical knowledge, go over there.
Small plug.
Yeah, small plug. But because we're talking about a bunch of verses and stuff, and we're talking about religion, a lot of the reason why people are following religion is because they don't read the text all the way through.
Yeah.
They think that Jeremiah 29:11 is talking about you.
Yeah.
It ain't.
Yeah.
They think that Philippians 4:13 is talking about you lifting weights. It ain't.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. Or just being an athlete.
Yeah. What's another popular verse that people just completely throw out of context?
When the time is right, I, the Lord, will make it happen.
Yes. Or...
I don't even remember what that is, but... There are so many people that say that, like, timing for everything, which is true.
Yeah.
Like, in your defense, like, yes, the Lord has perfect timing. However, that verse,
I think that's
in context for what's going on to that nation at that time.
Yeah, I think I know the verse. Hold on. I'm pretty sure you're talking about John 13.
No, I think it's a prophet that said it.
Oh, no. John 13:7 is, you do not realize now what I'm doing, but later you will understand.
No, but that's a good one.
That's a good one.
But that also talks about in context too.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So that's, and that's, again, that's a big thing about religion. And also, it can be in the framework of, like, how do I say this? The I love you Jesus era right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's like there's a lot of pastors out here trying to encourage and give hope to these people. So they pick and choose verses. It's like, this is going to motivate them. This is going to be great. And it's like, well, again.
Watered down.
Yeah, watered down. And it's like, well, if you tell them about John 3:16, you better also read them all of James.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because if you tell them John 3:16, that's a very encouraging and loving verse. Mm-hmm. Well, you better go read what his brother said too.
Yeah.
Because James was not playing around in his letter.
Yeah.
And James was also being serious.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, Jesus loves you. And James is James is the Proverbs of the New Testament.
Yeah.
That's what it is. It's all character development and change.
Yeah.
And that's all I'm saying is, sorry, small plug, but yeah, it's been on my heart a lot recently about my YouTube.
Yeah.
It's been on my heart a lot recently about, you know, wanting to change up my content, stuff like that. So I will probably be starting here in the next week and just preaching through the Bible. Spit it, honey. Okay. Yes, go ahead. I'm done.
Okay.
I'm finished.
Okay, we're circling back.
Yes.
So Romans 11:6 says, and since it is through God's kindness, then it is not by their good works, for in that case, God's grace would not be what it really is, free and undeserved.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Mmm, so good. We saw this. Michelle and I were talking about this meme, and it was this guy talking about, like, it was like POV, any girl's, like any woman's like Bible pod or Jesus podcast, something.
Yeah.
And it's just the girl was like, because like, and then all these girls like, so good.
Yeah. like they'll say like, yeah, I sat with the Lord. So good.
Yeah. Michelle,
it was
like,
really funny.
We're not checking.
We're not making fun of anyone.
We're not
it
making,
was just
yeah. It was just really funny because Michelle and I would be like, "They said John 3:16. I think everyone's heard that verse.
Yeah.
Like I don't know what's, you know, because usually you say that when you get a revelation.
Yeah, we've said that before where we're like,
yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah, it'll be something like, well, you know, John 3:16. Yes. So good. It's like, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Never heard of that verse before. It's only on every white male's bicep.
Yeah. Or the bottom of a cowboy boot.
Yeah. Or the, yeah.
Yeah. I also want to touch on how a lot of people will like just listen to what people are saying in the church or mentors, and they will go based off of how they earn salvation by what someone says, right? So we're not trying to like point fingers at certain denominations here, but
no, we're not.
I did grow up Methodist, and like I said, it was a lot of works, and it was a lot of, well, you're sprinkled as a baby and now you're a follower of Jesus. And the reason why, like my mom even opened up to me and she was like, well, the reason we did that is because that's just what they did. Like they told us like, yeah, you baptize your, it's just something that you do because someone tells you that that's how you get saved.
Yeah.
Right. Sprinkle your child and your child will be a child of God.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, well, that's what you are personally saying or someone else is saying. So that was kind of the whole working for salvation and then salvation as a gift is the whole divide between Catholicism and Protestant.
Yes.
It was, how do you actually get your salvation?
Yeah.
Right. So I'm going back on like understanding your word and reading your word and not listening to man.
Yeah.
Because you can enter a church. If you're not familiar with church and you walk into a Methodist church, like they might tell you, well, we do all of these things to earn God's love and you get baptized, or Catholics, you get baptized and then you're saved.
Yeah.
And there's no like outward confession or like teaching about believing in your heart. Right. So if we look at scripture, right, then you're aware of how you earn your salvation. It's very, very clear.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go through a couple of these real quick. I'm going to start with Acts 16:31. It says, they replied, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved along with everyone in your household. Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay.
We're going to go to another one. Romans 3:28 says, so we are made right with God through faith and not by obeying the law.
Mm-hmm. Christ came to fulfill the law, just to let you guys know.
Yep.
Because God knew we couldn't follow it.
Yep.
That's why Christ came.
And that's the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament. The Old Testament was an absolute disaster because everyone was man was trying to follow the law without the guidance of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Right?
And that is also why in the book of John it says the word became flesh.
Yep.
They are talking about the Old Testament people. The New Testament wasn't written yet.
Yeah. Galatians 2:16. For no one, this is the last sentence, verse 16 is kind of long.
Yeah.
But it says, for no one will ever be made right with God by obeying the law. I'm not going to read the other two, but Ephesians 1:13 and Philippians 3:9 also say similar things. So it's, we're talking about in our sinful nature, we cannot obey the law. Like we can't.
Yeah.
Like you can try all you want, but you're still going to slip up. And that was my vicious cycle before I fully gave my life to Jesus. It was, well, I'm doing all these good things. I'm doing all these good things. I'm good. I'm on an uphill, you know, we're inclining. This is great. And then I would do something sinful and then it would just trickle down. And I'm like, what's going on? Like, why am I doing this? And why, number one, why am I doing it? Number two, why do I not feel guilty about it?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like the only thing that I would feel guilty about is if I were to get caught by my parents or by law.
Yeah.
Exactly. That was the only thing that I was worried about. It wasn't, oh, I'm disappointing God. It was what's going to happen to me if someone finds out what I'm doing. Right? And we were literally born sinful.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's just our nature.
Yeah.
And that's the whole point of the gospel is to accept Jesus so that you don't have to worry about being sinful anymore and he guides you.
Yeah.
Now, are we still sinful in our nature when we're believers? Absolutely.
Yeah.
We still die to our flesh every day, but it's just a matter of following the Spirit and obeying those convictions and obeying his word out of love and out of reverence for him.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the difference.
Yeah.
Do you have anything to add?
Yeah, I have a lot of stuff to add. Lost it all. Coming back to me. Okay. Come back now, y'all. Yeah.
Here we go.
Cha-cha, real smooth. All right. So what I am going to say is people may be sitting here thinking, really? If God's so loving, then, and they go to his church, you really think he would send them to hell? Here's my response I would give to you. One, God is just.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm also going to say this. You just attending church doesn't mean that you've actually heard the good news.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I will say. Not all churches understand what they are doing.
Mm-hmm.
Thirdly, I will say, if you have heard the good news and read it for yourself, and there's also been a pull on your heart to accept Jesus into your heart, and you reject that, yeah, God's not going to care.
Yeah.
He's going to send you straight to hell. And that's the fine line of God being just and not just. For the people who have never heard the gospel, and for the people who have been to church and they haven't heard the correct gospel, well, the Bible doesn't really answer that question, to tell you the truth.
Mm-hmm.
It does, you know, the Bible answers a lot about lukewarmness and, you know, not inheriting the kingdom of God if you don't do X, Y, Z. You know, there's a lot of stuff that is answered, but the question isn't specifically answered if you ask, well, I go to church, but I think I heard the wrong gospel.
Mm-hmm.
So now what?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. What I will say is do some research yourself on what the correct gospel is.
Yeah.
That's what I will say.
Yeah. And that's where we're getting at with the whole deconstructing thing, right?
Yes.
We're not deconstructing God or like our beliefs. Well, we're deconstructing the beliefs that we were given either through a denomination or through an imperfect person who had it wrong.
Yeah.
Right? I had to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I had to deconstruct everything. I had to do that.
It.
Yeah. There's people that do it all the time. They get out.
I had to deconstruct for myself.
I know a lot of people that have came out of Catholicism and all of their practices and had to relearn things.
Yeah.
And they were confused.
Yeah.
Like really confused. It happens all the time.
Yeah. Let's talk about other religions, honey.
Yeah.
I mean, shoot, there are people who have deconstructed from Islam, Judaism, and go ahead.
You just got on this topic and I wanted to share this because I thought it was really cool.
Okay.
So Asher and I were curious and we looked up the other day if there had ever been anyone who went from Christianity to a different religion. And there was not a single example. They were all from other religions to Christianity. It was insane. But anyways.
Well, what we looked up was...
It was specific. Yeah.
Well, we looked up my testimony of coming to Allah.
Yeah.
That's what we looked up.
Yeah.
We didn't see one video.
There was not, yeah.
It was all about encounterments with Jesus. Mm-hmm. And that's another thing, too, is don't you want to have an encounterment if you're going to be spending eternity with them
mm-hmm.
before you get there?
Mm-hmm.
Like, God kind of gives us a little bit of a taste. And I think that's His Holy Spirit is a gift.
Yeah.
And I don't know, Him giving that to us is like really cool because we get to see a little taste of it.
Mm-hmm.
God can't show us His glory. We're not capable of that.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was very interesting. I texted Matthew and I was like, dude, there's not one testimony on YouTube. And he got curious. He was like, I wonder if that's because, you know, you're on your iPhone. Maybe go to like a computer and at the library or something, which I still want to do.
Yeah.
Because I would be very surprised if there's not one whole entire YouTube video about someone not encountering
Allah. It's always by, which we talked about, which is why we looked it up, is it's always by families.
Yeah.
That's another thing. A lot of people say that they're Christians because their family is a Christian.
Yeah.
That negates the whole idea of it being a personal relationship.
Exactly.
So
yeah,
that's a whole nother side topic, but go ahead talking about other religions.
I was just saying, like, it's okay to deconstruct from a religion Jesus.
Yeah,
like we're actually recommending you do that.
Yeah 1000%. Yeah,
don't take it from us.
And if you're curious and you're like, I don't know what to do, I've been, and I spoke to a amazing girl, if you didn't know, I'm coaching now, so link in bio if you're interested, if you're a female. But anyways, in the description.
Yes.
I said link in bio.
Yeah.
Link in the description if you're interested. If you're a girl who needs fitness coaching, let me know. But I had this really, really good phone call with this girl who used to be Hindu. And she had to deconstruct those beliefs that her family taught her whole life.
Mm-hmm.
And she had to learn that Jesus loves her freely. And it was a gift and she accepted it. And now she has the Holy Spirit and she's getting refined and she's experiencing that whole thing. Mm-hmm. So it was just a really good conversation because I had actually never talked to someone that came from another religion.
Right.
I've always talked to either lukewarm Christians or fully devoted followers or people that didn't believe at all.
Mm-hmm.
But coming out of another religion that you were born into can be very difficult and it comes with hurt. And it comes with isolation.
Yeah.
She talked a lot about isolation because her family doesn't even accept her anymore. And does she still talk to them? Yeah. She still has a relationship with them, but they don't understand what happened to her. And she's like, well, Jesus loves me and I'm following him. Mm-hmm. And it's really hard for them to understand. So
yeah,
I'm not trying to say that it's not going to be difficult,
mm-hmm.
but there might be a time where if you're coming out of another religion and you're curious, like do your own research, do your own searching, ask God if he's real and he'll reveal himself to you.
Mm-hmm.
And you just have to deconstruct the beliefs that you had before about him or about the religion that you were a part of.
Yeah. Yeah. There's no such thing as trying out Christianity.
Yeah.
That's, once you learn about Christianity, mm-hmm. you're not going to fall away from it if you start following Jesus.
Yeah.
If you start following the church, you're going to fall away from it. Because
absolutely.
The church is going to let you down. It's a bunch of imperfect people in a place.
It's a hospital.
Yeah.
That's like, okay, this is a really good example. I heard someone give this example. That's like you going to a gym to get in shape and you leaving because you see one overweight person.
Yeah. Yeah, it doesn't make sense.
Truthfully.
Yeah.
It's like, well, they're there to get healthy too.
Yeah.
You know? Like, now if it's a part of the church and they were teaching wrong and there's like real church hurt there, I'm not discounting that at all. There's a lot of people that unfortunately have to experience that. But mm-hmm. again, it's a church. Mm-hmm. It's not God.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. God still works, people. There's a lot of churches that don't work.
Yeah.
God, that doesn't disprove God's work. And that's what a lot of people get wrong, is they're like, well, the Pope did this, or this church did this. I mean, mm-hmm. how are you still a Christian because of that?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm still a Christian because Jesus is the truth. That mm-hmm. church isn't.
Yeah.
Like, there weren't even churches when Jesus was ministering to people
and temples.
Preaching. Yeah, there were temples, but all, or not all, most of Jesus' parables, if you read in context, it's with a crowd of people.
Yeah, mainly his disciples, yeah. But yeah.
That's it.
Mm-hmm.
And on some random place in the desert.
Or when he was on a boat.
Yeah, or on a boat, yeah.
And they were all on the shoreline.
Yeah. It's not like he went to the altar.
Yeah.
Like y'all's pastors.
Yeah.
This is the word I'm giving y'all today.
Yeah.
Nope, it was with a crowd of people.
Mm-hmm.
And since he was so sick, people gathered and wanted to hear what he was teaching
so
about.
So sick.
Yeah. I'm going to tell you, whether you are a Christian or Buddhist or Hindu or Islam or atheist or whatever, and your parents are the same, don't take what your parents have to say as true.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that will destroy you in the long run.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that may take y'all back. Whoa, my parents are Christian. They told me to be a Christian. You're telling me not to do that? Yeah, I am.
Yeah. Our kids aren't Christian just because we're Christian.
Now, are we going to raise them Christian? Yeah. But raising them Christian doesn't mean you have to do X, Y, Z.
Mm-hmm.
Raising them Christian literally is just us serving them.
Yeah.
And us loving them the way they're supposed to be loved.
Yeah.
And putting them in the right environments.
Mm-hmm.
That's what raising them Christian is.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, did you read your Bible today?
Yeah.
Did you pray?
Yeah.
No.
We're going to teach them to do those things.
That's something that Michelle and I are going to be like, we're going to do this before we sleep because
mm-hmm.
we need to rest in God's presence
mm-hmm.
or something like that. It's not pushing religion on them or whatever. Because if you do it the right way, kids are very curious people.
Yeah.
And if you have a testimony and mm-hmm. you say, yeah, dude, I mean, I this is something Michelle and I haven't talked about because we don't know when we are going to tell our kids our testimony, because mine's a little bit more heavy than yours
mm-hmm.
when it comes to like alcoholism and
mm-hmm.
drugs and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. It's not that he delivered me from drugs, but there's a couple more moving parts with my testimony compared to yours. Yours is a lot more PG.
Yeah.
Mine is on rated R.
Yeah.
So I don't know how long or how young I could tell them. But anywho, if you have a testimony, then your kids are going to get pretty curious because you're literally telling them how your world flipped upside down because of one man.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not stupid. They're going to be like, how is that possible?
Yeah.
And then that's, you know, I wanted to say one thing. Real quick, honey, before you get back on the hot seat. Because then I hear a lot of other people also say, well, you're just closed-minded.
Mm.
Like, you just follow a religion. You don't want to do anything else. You're closed-minded. No, I'm very open-minded. When an atheist hit me with something, when a Muslim hits me with something, mm-hmm. and they're like, do this, 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 I'm open-minded. Here's the difference. When you encounter the Holy Spirit, that's not something you can deconstruct from
mm-hmm.
because it's the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if y'all understand how powerful that Spirit is.
Yeah.
When you get an encounter with the Holy Ghost, I mean, you're not, it's going to be very hard for you to be open-minded to just being like, yeah, that was just some random feeling I got.
Yeah.
You know? And that's why it's so important to actually not follow rules and put your belief belief in Christ, because that's when you're going to be filled. You're not going to be filled following these rules and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Because then you're just going to continue following your flesh and not the spirit. And then when you do get that open-minded, that's when you're like, yeah, I was a Christian. I deconstructed. Bro, please. And that's something you see a lot on TikTok Live. Ex-Christian.
Yeah.
I'll go in there. So when did you get saved? What do you mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
Really?
I was in church my whole life.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I left the church. Yeah. That doesn't mean anything.
Yeah. So why'd you leave the church? My pastor did this. Your pastor slept with someone, so you left Christianity because of it. You don't know Jesus then, bro.
Yeah. I couldn't imagine having a conversation with Jesus one day and saying that.
That is just, that is, you get to the feet of Jesus and he he asks you, why should I let you into heaven? And you're like, well, I used to follow you. And then my pastor did something.
No, and then he would say, no, you were never following me at all.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah.
Oh, man. We hear that so much. Yeah. Is, I used to be a Christian. No.
No.
No, no. You used to practice
Christianity.
Yeah. And like I said, my guy Preston said, Christianity is meant to be impossible. Mm-hmm. That's why there are so many deconstructionists. Yeah. Because they realized, oh, shoot, this is impossible.
I can't do this with my flesh. And
exactly. That should be a testimony for you not following rules by your flesh.
Yeah.
You and I are filled with the Spirit and still can't follow these rules.
No.
That's our understanding of knowing God's... Well, that's God's mercy. That's not God's grace.
Yeah.
But... Because we should be punished.
Yeah.
I mean, we're horrible people. We're gross. Yeah. We're terrible.
Yeah.
Shoot. We are... Man, we are horrible. We have ruined this earth he has given us, unfortunately.
Yeah.
And, oh, man. Thank goodness he gives us paradise. Shoot. Y'all quit following those demonic religions, man. Shoot. That one Hindu god y'all follow, that ain't going to get you into heaven. I'll tell you this right now. Shoot. He's going to send you straight down. Mm. I want to tell them that story, honey, about how we were on our walk the other day. We're going to get back on topic soon. We just like to go wherever with these podcasts.
Yeah.
So Michelle and I were on a walk, and we were like, me especially, I get hit with a lot of Muslim stuff. Allah's the truth. You know, he said this, if this gets you into paradise, blah, blah, blah. And I'm over here like, let's say... This, because Michelle and I were talking about how much faith we actually have.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say that Jesus actually is not the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yeah.
Michelle and I have so much faith that if we are presented another God in heaven, or let's say there are steps to get there or whatever, and they and that God or whatever says, you know, why should I let you in, or who do you have your faith in, whatever it may be, right? I'm going to say Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Or if something happens, or they say, the God says, well, you're not getting into heaven because you're not following me. I'm not going to say, no, 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 I was. No, I'm going to say, yeah, I was following Jesus Christ my whole life.
Yeah.
Yeah. I still believe in Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And, you know, if that God says, or I don't know how heaven works, I've never been there. But, you know, if they say, okay, well, you're going straight to hell. All right. Gladly.
Then because, I deserve it. Yeah. Because. I'm not giving up my belief in Jesus.
Yeah, yeah. And it's like, if you don't have that kind of faith,
I
would look back at the Bible people.
Yeah.
And that's all I wanted to say.
Yeah, that was a really good point. That's why everyone, like, especially Paul, right? He writes all the time, like, I don't care what happens to me. Like, I'm not going to change my beliefs, mm-hmm. or I'm not going to back down, or I'm not going to lie to get the approval of man. I don't care.
Yeah.
Right? Like he didn't care. He was willing to die for his beliefs. In fact, a lot of people did.
Mm-hmm.
And
it may happen again.
Yeah.
I mean, look, like.
No, I saw a TikTok video of this girl, the one that we like. She's really funny. She's a Christian. I sent you the video.
Okay.
Her name starts with a K. She's really funny. Really.
Oh, yes.
Is it Kylie? No.
Something like that. Yeah, she's hilarious.
Yeah. Dang, I wish I could remember her name because I want to shout her out because yeah. I really enjoy her videos.
She would be
videos.
So fun to have on the podcast, honey.
Yeah, she would.
She would be hilarious.
But she posted a video about me when the Bible gets banned and yeah, she was yeah. in jail taking pictures yeah. with her Bible. It was really
it
funny.
It was so funny. But seriously, in America, yeah. they're trying to ban the New Testament yeah. and hey, we'll see who y'all real Christians are when
oh,
that happens.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And, you know, it was right before I got saved, honey.
Yeah.
Ian asked me a really hard question.
Here we go.
It's crazy how this is actually playing out.
Yeah.
He said, hey, I have a question for you. And I said, what's that? And he said, it's kind of an ethical question, but if an officer came to your house and asked you that if you believe in the Bible, they're going to kill you and your whole entire family, would you say yes? Or would you say no to protect your family?
I would say yes.
And at the time, I said, I don't know. That would be a very, very difficult decision. Mm-hmm. Now, what I'm thinking is, if an officer came to me and said, do you believe as Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? And I say yes, gladfully shoot me.
I know where I'm going.
Yeah, I'm like, I can't wait to be home.
Yeah.
Shoot my family too.
Yeah.
Because I know they're believers.
Yeah.
You know? Now I answer that completely different.
Yeah.
Now if the government were to come to our door and they say, do y'all read the Bible? I'm going to say yeah. Every day.
Yeah.
And they're like, okay, well, we're going to have to kill you. Can't wait to be home.
Or put you in jail.
You know?
It's illegal. Yeah.
The C.S. Lewis quote is so good. Okay, this is one of my favorite quotes from C.S. Lewis ever, okay? And this should give y'all even more faith. The fact that our heart yearns for something earth can't supply is proof that heaven must be our home.
Hmm.
Like, if you just think about that in a worldly sense, before I got saved, I wanted a faster car. I wanted more money. I wanted more clients. I wanted a bigger business. I wanted more validation from women. I wanted more followers, whatever. Once I got those things, none of it mattered.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem is that our heart yearns for all of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But the earth can't supply it.
Mm-hmm.
That's literally proof that heaven is our home, mm-hmm. because heaven supplies all of those things mm-hmm. for us. Now, I'm not saying we're going to be rich in heaven or whatever, but we're going to be in God's presence.
Yeah.
We're going to be able to see his glory. So yeah. we're not going to have that sinful nature in us anymore
mm-hmm.
to want to yearn for those things.
Yeah.
That's my favorite quote by C.S. Lewis ever.
Yeah.
And here's one thing I will say too, and we've already touched base on this. I have never, ever, once in my life ever say, I was filled with the Holy Spirit and now I'm an atheist.
Yeah.
Never once in the history of ever has that ever happened ever.
Yeah.
What I have heard is, I used to go to this church, now I'm an atheist.
Or I was a Christian, which people throw that term around
mm-hmm.
like it's nobody's business.
Yeah. My parents raised me Christian. I didn't like how it was. Now I'm an atheist.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, your parents probably did a terrible job.
Or I walked away from my faith.
Yeah.
Well, it wasn't rooted in Jesus.
Yeah. I walked away from my faith. Yeah, exactly. Your faith.
Yeah.
Doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
My faith is so objective.
Yeah.
Subjective.
Yeah.
Doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
Your faith can mean a lot of different things. I have faith that Michelle is going to love me for the rest of our life. I have great faith in that, actually. But, you know.
Yeah. And I will.
Yeah. Go ahead, honey. Your turn.
Okay. So one thing I want to bring up is the verse that people use to argue that salvation's actually through works.
You're talking about the James verse, aren't you?
Yep.
Yeah. Okay.
So James 2:24 says, so you see, we are shown to be right with God by what we do, not by faith alone. But let's back up.
Yes. Yes, please.
Verse 22 says, you see, his faith and his actions worked together. His actions made his faith complete. 23 says, and so it happened just as the scriptures say, Abraham believed God and God counted him as righteous because of his faith. And he was called the friend of God.
Okay. Yeah.
So
one thing.
Okay, go ahead.
Real quick. This is like theological nerd stuff that I want to point out.
Yeah.
Guys, when James wrote this letter, there weren't verses.
Yeah.
It was probably a couple pieces of paper with sentences. Mm-hmm. He wasn't labeling, this is chapter one, this is, no.
Yeah.
It's a letter with sentences.
Yeah.
Okay? That's why it's so important to read that as a letter.
Yeah.
And not, oh, well, in this verse right here, it says this. Fam, if you read three sentences before that, it says the complete different thing.
Yeah.
You know? That's like, let me tell y'all another example. That's like me saying, man, I'm trying to think of something off the top of my head. Something that can throw someone completely off but mean completely differently. For example, I could say, there was a big flame in the kitchen. Read that one sentence. Wow, the kitchen's probably on fire. I hope the ambulance has come in, blah, blah, blah. Two sentences before. I was cooking stir fry with chicken and rice, period. When I put soy sauce in it, this is what happened. A big flame emerged in the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing burned down, just a big heap of flame, right? And if y'all would have taken that one sentence, y'all's mind would have gone to something completely outrageous, right? But nothing happened. Yeah. I was cooking food. And when you put soy sauce in a hot pan, newsflash, flame usually happens if it's mixed with oil, okay? The only reason why I say that is because Michelle and I are making hibachi on Thursday. We're going to get cooking here.
Asher's making hibachi.
Oh, yeah, I'm making hibachi, yeah. Yeah.
Well, I'll be there to help and support.
Yes. But, okay, anyways, I just wanted to say that because a lot of people think, why did James, you know, cut the chapter off right here? Or why did, you know, Luke not extend the chapter? Fam, there weren't chapters.
Yeah.
They weren't writing a book. It was a letter.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. When Paul was writing to Corinth, it was one long letter of him flaming them, saying, y'all are terrible.
Yeah.
Go ahead, honey.
Yeah. That was good.
Yeah. Just wanted to lay that out there for everyone.
That verse is disproving the idea that a person can't be saved by faith without producing good works, right?
Yeah.
So if we read back further, James 2:20 says, well, before that, this is a good verse. Verse 19 says, you say you have faith for you, believe that there is one God, good for you. Even the demons believe this and they tremble in terror. That's a good one.
Yeah.
And then it says, how foolish, can't you see that faith without good deeds is useless?
Yep.
And then he gives the example of Abraham, right? So he offered his son. That was his action because of his faith in God.
Right.
So that produced that good deed. If he didn't believe in God and he didn't have faith in God, he would have never done that. That was his promised son from God.
Prophecy fulfilled.
And he and God
said,
him,
give it up.
And he took him up to the altar and said, yep, see you later. And then God said, okay, now I know that you love me, right?
Now I know that you fear me.
Or that's what it was. Now I know that you fear me. But that example is just showing that our faith in Jesus produces works, right? So you don't go to your prayer closet in the morning because you feel like you have to earn God's love. Or it's like something that you just are doing as a practice religion, right? Your faith in Jesus is making you want to spend time with him alone in a prayer closet.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
We don't read our Bibles to earn God's love. We don't tithe to earn God's love. We don't do anything to earn it. We do it because we have faith in him. And the Holy Spirit gives us the desires to do those things.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah. And also I do want to say one more thing, honey. Another reason why I believe James is saying like faith without works is dead, you know, faith produces good deeds, stuff like that, is none of your deeds and none of your works is actually supposed to give you any glory whatsoever.
Yeah.
It's actually supposed to be a testimony for how God actually works. You know, if you were to come to someone, if you were to come to someone and say, I do XYZ because I'm trying to earn XYZ, compared to I do XYZ because I know he loves me.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, that is so different.
Yeah.
Everyone works for stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. When you say I work because I love them, mm-hmm. that's different.
Mm-hmm.
All of y'all watching probably have jobs. What do you work for? Money. Mm-hmm. Okay. If you came to me and said, yeah, I pick up trash and, you know, throw it in the dumpster or whatnot. I'm a trash man and I do it because I love that company. I do it for free. I'm going to be pretty curious.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I would be so confused.
Yeah.
And in the same way, if we are out doing community service and someone says, why are you picking up trash on the side of the road? And you hit them with, well, I'm really trying to get into heaven. That person, gone.
Yeah.
They're not going to hear the end of it. Or yeah. they're not going to want to hear any of it.
Mm-hmm.
If you say, oh, I just believe that God wants me to do this and I love him. Who's that?
Yeah.
You know, if they've never heard of Jesus.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Or they say, what?
Yeah.
What theology is this?
Yeah.
Or who'd you hear that from?
Yeah.
Now, again, you better be biblically inclined.
Yeah.
Because when people get curious, this is why I started studying the Bible, is when because I have a platform and whatnot, and when I start proclaiming Jesus, people are going to start slamming you with stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You better know that book.
Yeah.
Like, seriously. And, yeah. and if you don't know the answer, you don't have to say, you know, you don't have to get mean or make something up or whatever. Say, I'm not sure. Can I get back to you on that?
Mm-hmm.
It's not that you're wrong. Mm-hmm. You just don't know it. I don't know everything. Michelle mm-hmm. doesn't know everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, your pastor doesn't know everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I heard this pastor say one time, he said, when I'm preaching on Sunday, ask me about that sermon. I don't know anything else for that Sunday. He was like, I didn't prepare. Ask me about John 19 that I just studied for y'all.
Yeah.
Don't ask me about Matthew 14. Yeah. I didn't study that.
Yeah.
It was just really, really funny.
I feel like you would say something like
that. Yeah, I would. I would. Yeah, it was funny. A joke.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was
yeah,
a joke,
yeah.
But... because obviously that was just an example, but go ahead, honey, spit it.
So I want to go into what Jesus said to the religious leaders, because I feel like a lot of times people can say, oh, well, Paul's the one that wrote all those verses that you said as an example about believing in Jesus and it being by faith and not by works, right? But let's just go into what Jesus said,
mm-hmm.
right? So in Matthew chapter 23, I'm going to read a couple different verses. So verse 3 says, so practice and obey whatever they tell you, but don't follow their example, for they practice what they teach. They don't practice what they teach. They crush people with their unbearable religious demands and never lift a finger to ease the burden.
Mm.
And this kind of reminds me of like a certain denomination. I'm really trying not to call people out, so I'm just trying to be vague. But mm-hmm. there's a couple different denominations that really push a lot of practice and don't give any grace.
Mm-hmm.
So they just make you feel really, really guilty
mm-hmm.
for things that you do, and they make you acknowledge the things that you do bad often.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is kind of what he's talking about. So just a side note, things that are happening in the world today with Christianity and like people getting it wrong or like twisting it or like denominations, like none of these ideas are new.
Mm-hmm.
Like none of them are new. They all happened back in the day. They just have different titles now.
Yep.
Or they've advanced to where they've gotten worse.
Yep.
So also, I want to read verse 28. So it says outwardly, now this is where he's calling them out. So Jesus says, outwardly, you look like righteous people, but inwardly, your hearts are filled with hypocrisy and lawlessness. So lawlessness is the trap that you can fall into when you say, I'm going to do all of these things to earn God's love. And then you literally end up hurting yourself more because you're trying to do all of it with your sinful nature.
And again, the reason why Jesus Christ got sent to the earth is because God knows we can't do it ourselves.
Exactly.
Without his guidance.
Yep, exactly.
We needed a perfect example.
Yeah.
And then we needed his spirit.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, how many times did Jesus encounter the religious leaders when he was trying to save people, trying to perform miracles, and they were like, well, it's Sabbath, you can't do that, or calling him out on doing certain things. And it's like, you literally know the scriptures and you know the law, but like, if someone is dying and needs to go to the hospital on a Sunday and that's someone's Sabbath, like, let's say we're home and something happens to one of us and it's like, okay, we got to go to the hospital. It's like, I'm not going to, if something's wrong with me and you're like, let's go to the hospital, I'm not going to look at you and say, no, it's our Sabbath. We can't do anything.
Yeah.
You know? And that's when Jesus is like, stop getting so far into the trap of lawlessness that you literally negate like your relationship with Jesus and like what he's trying to have you do.
Yeah.
Right?
Or like, that's more of legalism, but yeah.
I meant legalism.
Lawlessness is doing...
not caring at all.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Legalism is focusing too much on what was written.
Yes. Sorry. Mixed them up. Yes. Yes. Legalism.
Yeah.
Is that. Yeah. Lawlessness is just not caring. So the way that I like to look at it is like a road, and there's like a ditch on one end and a ditch on the other. Like if we're talking about the narrow road that Jesus is talking about, few are actually going to follow that road. There's a ditch on one side that's lawlessness, and there's a ditch on one side that's going to be legalism. And a lot of people unfortunately fall into one or the other, and it's very rare that people will just stay in the middle. Like even what JP said on his podcast, where he was talking to Nate and he was like, how many people in this church do you think are truly saved? And it was a very low percentage.
Nate said 95.
Yeah.
And JP was like, dude, it's probably about 40.
Yeah.
And
these people think that they're saved because they're going to church on Sunday.
Yeah.
It's really sad. And there's a lot of elderly people that also believe that same thing, that are going to church and being involved and doing all of these things. And it's like, that's not what's going to save you. And we can go a little bit on this. I don't want to go too far into it, but we can also talk about baptism.
Yeah.
A lot of people believe that just baptism alone will save you. But when you get baptized, what do they ask you?
Do you believe in Jesus as your Lord and Savior?
Have you accepted him into your heart?
Yeah.
Are you going to follow him all the days of your life?
Yeah.
That's what I was asked. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I said, yes, 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 yes. Mm-hmm. A million times, yes.
Every baptism is different.
Boom.
The guy asked me, he was like, when did you get saved? So he didn't have to ask me that.
Yeah.
But... yeah.
No, but I'm glad that he did.
Yeah.
Right. And a lot of people use this argument and they're like, well, in the New Testament, you know, John the Baptist, like he was out there baptizing people left and right. But I'm sure he was asking the same thing before they went in. I'm sure he wasn't just like, okay, let's save everybody. Go in the water. Yeah. You know, it's like, it kind of makes me nervous with what's going on in all these college campuses, because like Tennessee is going on right now. It was Alabama, but they used a fountain and they just had people come at Jeannie Allen was there. She's at Tennessee now. I think she's a part of it. But
oh, no way. That's the book that Matthew's reading.
Yeah, yeah. She's the one that JP interviewed about emotions.
Right.
Remember I told you I wanted to get that book.
That's who it was. Yeah. Yes. Yes.
Very talented. She actually lives in Dallas.
Yeah.
But she's been going around with them. But it makes me nervous when they do this. And in the Jesus Revolution, same thing that happened in the movie. They were all just like in the water. It's like in that moment, there can be this sense of like, oh, I'm emotional and I feel all of these emotions. So I just want to go in the water and get saved. Mm-hmm. That's how I was when I was in Methodist church. Every time there was an altar call I went to Ichthus. I told you about this, the music festival, and they had a giant wooden cross and a speaker came out in between the singers. Cause it was literally like a concert, and they were like, okay, yeah, we're going to do, like, if you need saved, you believe in Jesus, like, super emotional talk, okay? It wasn't that it was very deep.
Yeah.
That was just a high level of what you know, the gist of what he said. And then, you know, we're all teenagers and we all run over to this cross and we just like fall on our knees and start crying. I'm going to get emotional thinking about it because it actually makes me really sad of how Jesus felt in that moment.
Mm-hmm.
He's looking down at me. I'm just talking about my story specifically.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm on my knees and I'm looking at this cross and I'm crying and I'm talking about how sinful I am and how I want to be saved. And he's like, you don't even know me.
Yeah.
You don't even know what you're doing.
Yeah.
Truthfully.
Yeah.
Like, you just think that, like, I knew who he was. I knew all of the details. It was just, I truly didn't accept him in my heart. And that was just part of the reason it took so long is because of control. We talked about that in another episode. But it makes me sad and it makes my heart ache for how he's feeling up there watching all of these people just be like, yeah, I gave my life to Jesus. And then he's like, wait a second. I don't know you. You don't know me.
Mm-hmm.
What, like, we don't have a relationship. What are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and now are these revivals amazing? Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
And I pray that the majority of these people, if not all of them, are truly getting saved. But it really makes me nervous because in that moment, can you imagine you're a college student, you're with your friends, and you're hearing this message of the gospel. And you're like, wow, this sounds amazing. I want to be a part of this.
Mm-hmm.
And all the emotions are so high. You get in that water, you get baptized, and you go home, and you're like, wow, that was amazing. A week later, you go out, and you get drunk, and you have sex with someone you don't even know, and you wake up the next morning not feeling guilty at all.
Mm-hmm.
No conviction at all. And it's like, did you really accept him or were you just doing it, number one, because everyone else was doing it, and number two, because you were on this like emotional high?
Yeah.
And I think that's why I like to talk about my story so much, because I didn't have an altar call. No one told me, come accept Jesus. I was sitting on the floor in my bedroom listening to worship music alone.
Yeah.
And I gave my life to Jesus that night on October 10th of 2021. I was alone. There was no altar call. I wasn't in like this huge emotional spiritual high. No, I was like, I haven't known you and I need you in my life.
Yeah. I'm going to say something that's going to really upset some people, but I definitely mean it. Altar calls are making us be worse disciples of Jesus.
Yeah.
Truthfully.
Yeah.
And the reason why I say that is because, like Michelle just stated, these altar calls happen after a very, very emotional set of worship music.
Mm-hmm.
The piano's playing.
Mm-hmm.
You're in God's presence.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus loves you.
Mm-hmm.
All you need to do is accept it.
Yeah.
Very true.
Yeah.
And what after that? That's...
What after that?
That's the problem.
Yeah.
Is... I'm going to say one more thing. Because that's lawlessness.
Mm-hmm.
Now, on the flip side, I'm going to say... The sinner's prayer
mm-hmm.
is also making us be worse disciples.
The magical mystery Jesus prayer, whatever Paul calls it.
Yeah,
my hometown pastor.
Yeah. Now, what I will say is the sinner's prayer is great
mm-hmm.
if you are following Jesus
mm-hmm.
and you mean it.
Mm-hmm.
But if your pastor goes out and say, let us say the prayer, say, or usually it goes, repeat after me.
Yeah.
Dude, if you don't mean it, don't even say it.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
And I feel like there's sometimes a lot of pressure where it's like, okay, everyone close your eyes and raise your hand. It's like, well, I want to make this pastor feel like he did a good job. So.
Yes.
I just gave my life to Jesus.
Yes.
And I'm not trying to.
I'm not even going to lie, honey. When we went to Ohio and Paul spoke.
Yeah.
I did this number.
Yeah.
But it was because, you know, we've had Paul on the podcast.
Paul. Yeah, yeah.
And I don't even know if it was an altar call. I think it was like, who's been following Jesus? And I'm like, me.
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
Yeah.
I think there can be a sense. I'm not trying to like talk bad about churches that do that because
I
do think it's important to like explain how you get saved.
Yes.
Right? But I do have a lot of respect for our church because he doesn't do altar calls. Nope. Literally at the end, he says, if you're curious, if this message touched you and you want to know who Jesus is and you want to know how to have a relationship with him, we have resources for you. We have a prayer team. Like, it's in those instances where it's like, dang, okay, you're prompting me to find out myself.
Yep.
You know, I'm not relying on you to say a prayer for me that I repeat in my head.
Exactly.
You're telling me, well, if you want to follow Jesus, come follow him.
Yep.
Right? It's up to you. You are more than welcome to come and sit in this church and listen to all my messages. Yep. But I want to make sure you know why you're here.
Yep.
Right?
I've heard John do 3 altar calls now.
Yeah. And it's usually holidays.
Easter.
Yeah.
Christmas.
Yeah.
And the men's conference.
Yeah.
And the men's conference, it was done at 10:30 p.m.
Yeah.
So many people got saved. Yeah. It was awesome.
Yeah.
But again, after that happened, he was like, if y'all need more resources, you know, and that's what people need.
Yeah.
I wish pastors could sit up there and talk about this book for hours.
Yeah.
They can't.
Yeah.
They got to have one little topic.
Yeah.
Or they got to read a couple verses.
Yeah.
And, you know, people got stuff to do, unfortunately. And that's why it's so important to really go back and do your own research and find the evidence out for yourself.
Yeah.
I'm good, honey.
Yeah. So on the topic of baptism, so you get saved and then you get baptized as like an outward expression. Is it necessary? No. I got baptized a month after I got saved because that was the next baptism that my church was doing. And I was like, yep, sign me up. But I like to use the example, which I know a lot of people use as an example. I like to use the example of the thief on the cross because Jesus said, you will be with me in paradise, but he didn't get baptized. He could have never been baptized. It was the fact that he was outwardly saying that he is the Son of God. He confessed his belief out loud and Jesus said, yeah, you're going to be with me in paradise.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So I got baptized October 8th, 2023 at 10:15 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
I got saved March 18th, 2023 at like 8 p.m.
Yeah.
And how many months is that apart?
Yeah.
Like 6?
Yeah.
And it's not because I didn't want to get baptized or whatever. It was just like, I didn't really feel led to do it.
Right.
And also my church wasn't holding baptisms. They had something going on to where they couldn't do it.
Yeah.
But
now with our kids, I think it'll be one of those things where it's like they come to us and they say, hey, I accepted Jesus in my heart. And we ask them a couple questions to make sure that they know.
I'm going to slam them.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to get all Bible nerd on
and
them.
Then we're,
really? What's the evidence?
And then we're going to go to the lake or a creek and we're probably going to dunk them right away.
Yeah. I mean, that's going to be one of those things where it's like, we don't need a pastor to do it.
Yeah. You baptize someone if you were baptized is how it typically goes. I don't know if that's biblical, but John the Baptist was baptizing people and he was baptized. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just want to talk about that because I think that that's also a misconception about belief in Jesus is, oh, well, I like the person that, you know, like I got baptized. So, yeah, I hope so. But it's like.
And it's like, that's not going to hold
up. That was regular bath water.
That ain't gonna hold up in court. God's court.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
What do you mean? I sprinkled some water on my head.
Yeah. I mean, I got questioned by like family members because I got baptized and everyone was like, wait a second, we were there when you got baptized as an infant. What happened? And it's like, well, I wasn't saved.
Yeah. I got questioned too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, well.
And they were like, well, you were baptized at the Presbyterian church. Yeah. Not out of my free will.
Yeah, exactly.
I was 8 months old.
Exactly. Fam. Yeah. Yeah, so we will not be baptizing our infants.
Yeah.
I do like the idea of baby dedications, but that's only because I think it's special to like come out and be like, I'm dedicating my child to the Lord. Like, this is a gift from God.
Mm-hmm.
And I it's basically like in my head, this is how I take it. It's like I vow to honor the Lord through raising this child kind of thing. We haven't really talked about that because that's kind of a newer thing. But I do like the idea of it because I think it's really special that it's like, okay, well, this is a, like children are a gift from the Lord, right? Yeah. So it would be nice to just be like, hey, I'm just coming out and saying like this child, like I'm going to raise this child to know you and mm-hmm. to love you mm-hmm. and pray that they follow you.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But that was kind of drawn out. We kind of got off topic a little bit here and there, but hey, that's okay.
Every word of it.
Yeah. This is just something that's been on our heart and that we've had a couple conversations with or about with each other, because I just feel like there's a lot of misconceptions about certain denominations and practicing religion, but not actually having a relationship with Jesus. So, just making sure that you're rooted in scripture and that he's in your heart, that like truly believing in him and putting your faith in him is what's going to save you, not doing all of these things to serve him. So mm-hmm. yeah, hope that you guys enjoyed this episode.
Yep. And we will see y'all next Wednesday on the tripod.
Here we go.